You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. Sorry about the late podcast, getting it out late, but a man has things to do. Only playing. What's up, Mark?
I'm
all right. I'm doing well. Hey, guys, you haven't heard from me in a while. Last week, I was on vacation. You know, Mark was being extremely busy doing what he always does. So, you know, we really didn't give you guys a podcast. But today, we have, a lot to talk about in regards to the Sixers roster. And, you know, we're just basically posing this question. Are the Sixers done building the roster, Mark? You know, I mean, what do you think? Do you think they are or not?
I do, Keith. I think that they are. I think they are done.
You do? You do?
Yeah, well, and you and I have talked about this, that they have 14 guaranteed contracts. They have Trey Burke on a partial guarantee. And we've talked about that doesn't mean anything. They could still do other moves. But I think they like this team, and I think they're finished.
Okay, well then, no need in doing this podcast, but we're going to do it. So what we're going to talk about is, just joking, what we're going to talk about is, we're going to talk about the significance of Thursday's workout. You know, yesterday, they brought in Joe Johnson, they brought in Spencer Hawes, they had Terry Harris in the workout, the younger brother of Tobias Harris. They also had John Jenkins, and they also had A.J. Price in his workout, and they had another guy that I'm trying to figure out who he is, but the sources have, you know, told me that these other guys were there and they worked out. So, you know, we'll find out about that, the significance of that one. But really, the guy who is the headliner is Joe Johnson. So we'll talk about that in the first segment. Then in the second segment, we'll talk about, would Carmelo Anthony be a good fit? Would Carmelo Anthony be a good fit? And then in the third one, segment, we're going to talk about if someone is acquired, who gets released? You know, who gets released? So, Mark, let's start it off with this first segment. And, you know, you talked to the Sixers yesterday. And just talk about the significance of Thursday's workout, primarily Joe Johnson coming in.
Well, here, if you talk to the Sixers, they say it wasn't significant. They say they've been doing these things all summer. I'm not so sure about that, because Joe Johnson, as reported, had other workouts as well. I think, and you remember, Keith, I said on this podcast that I would sign Joe Johnson because of the three-point threat that he brings to the team. So I think it was more than just a cursory look at some NBA players and trying to, you know, appease agents by bringing their guys in and all that. I think, you know, they're really looking at him. Now, like I said, I don't think they're going to bring anybody else in. But if I were them and Joe Johnson's available, I would still think heavily about him.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you have to bring him in for a workout. I mean, you look at Joe Johnson, right? You know, Joe Johnson is, 38 years old. You know, he's a seven-time All-Star. But the year, now, again, he was the MVP of the Big Three.
Right.
Nothing against the Big Three. I like the Big Three. It's entertaining. But what they all are, they're former players.
Yep.
You know, and there's a reason why some of them are playing in the Big Three. Now, some of them, you know, they retired years ago, and they want to come back out there and show people. But then there are other guys like Big Baby and you know, guys like that who – they could still, if they were still on the top of their game, they would still be able to play in the league because of their age. You know what I mean? They'll be older. But you look at Joe Johnson, he was the MVP, you know, averaging 21.9 points and 3.9 assists, right? Good. He played for the triplets. He was out of the NBA last year. When you think of Joe Johnson, you think of shooting. You think of sharp shooting. I mean, I remember one game against the Sixers. I forget what it was, but he set a record for his most threes in a quarter against the Sixers, right? Last year, the year before last, he split time between Utah and the Houston Rockets, and he struggled shooting 27.9%. He's older. So, if you're the 76ers, you have to bring him in for a workout to see. Now, if his shot is right, he can help this team. Keith, for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes a game.
And that's the whole key. He doesn't have to play a lot. And the other thing is, Keith, on this team, with Embiid drawing double teams, with Ben Simmons, you know, a playmaker who can get people open shots, he will have open shots. And the fact is, at 10 or 15 minutes a game, I think he could be a big, big addition. Now, I don't think they are going to sign him, but I think if it were me, I would look very, very seriously at Joe Johnson, because the guy not only has three-point range, he has long, deep three-point range. And I think playing a limited role and knowing he doesn't have to, you know, go more than maybe 15 minutes, and maybe he could, but in that limited role, and he would stretch a defense, people would have to respect him unless he ends up shooting like 10% from three. They'd have to respect him. I think you and I have talked about this before. I think that's the one area where they don't have that proven sniper. And and I think Joe Johnson, I would look very seriously at him. I don't think they will, but I would.
Now, here are some of the other teams that he's going to work out for. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he worked out for the Sixers. He's expected to work out for the Clippers, the Bucks, the Nuggets, and the Pelicans. So, you know, if you're in a lot of times when stuff like that gets out, you know, it's kind of like saying to the Sixers or whomever, look, y'all, if y'all going to make a decision on him, you better hurry up and make it, because he has other options. You know, he's going to play for an NBA team this year. So if you really want him, it's like you better make that move. Now, again, the thing about Joe Johnson and the thing about, let's say, the other guys there, like, okay, so you have Joe Johnson, you have Spencer Halls. You know, Spencer Halls last year was out of the league as well. He played for the Lakers G League team. You know, you have a young guy like in Terry Harris who, you know, if he's there, you know, he's going to be in Exhibit 10, you know, mm-hmm. if they get him. And then some people will say, well, won't Joe Johnson and Spencer Halls be in Exhibit 10? I don't think if Joe Johnson is getting these type of offers from the or workouts, he's not going to be in Exhibit 10 for someone. So I don't see it that way. But my question mark is, now, if you play all these guys, like Spencer, if you get a Spencer Halls and you get a Joe Johnson, they're older, they can shoot, but they're not the defensive guys that you want. So in other words, you may have to have somebody on there on the floor with them, because people are going to attack them, especially Spencer. I mean, when Spencer was with the Sixers, he made shots, but he got attacked a lot.
Well, I'll tell you, Keith, first of all, I wouldn't even consider Spencer. That's number one. I would not consider him. I would consider Joe Johnson, just because he has a skill that the Sixers really don't have at this time. That he can. I still think Joe Johnson can make threes, and I think on this team he'll get open shots. What's the similarity between all those teams that you mentioned except the Pelicans? They're all NBA title contenders. They're all teams that could maybe afford to use him at a 10 or 15 minute clip instead of having to rely on him for heavy minutes. And they're teams that maybe think he could help them over the edge a little bit. But here's the thing. If the Sixers really wanted him, they'd have him. Yeah. Right now. Well, I mean, right? I mean, they work them out. If they really, really wanted him.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say they won't eventually sign him, but I don't think that they're going to be worried by him saying, well, I'm going to all these other teams. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. But I just think he's an intriguing person.
Yeah. Now, also, another thing is, you know, right now, if you're the Sixers, you're waiting to see who gets waived from other teams. And things like that. Because, like, you know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, we'll talk about that more in the third segment, but a lot of people are saying that it's one of those things, well, you got all these roster spots. Well, you can cut someone. You just have to pay them a salary, and you can bring someone else in. I mean, you can cut them, and we'll talk more about that in the third segment because we're going to talk about who's possible to go. But, you know, I just think that in regards to the Sixers, it's just one of those things that, you know, you can bring in, you know, 20 guys in the training camp. You know, a lot of times what you're doing, you're waiting to see who gets waived, and maybe that person can be an upgrade from an older player that you're trying to bring back. And then you also have them working out with a guy like Terry Harris, who's a young sniper, you know, this and that, and you want to see how this guy can compete with them or if they're better than him, you know, this and that. And, you know, Terry Harris is a guy who, you know, could possibly be in line, if not from the Sixers, but to get an Exhibit 10 contract from another team. Like, he's not a guy that they're going to look for to say, okay, you're going to be the sniper on the varsity squad, so to speak, but he's a guy that can, you know, toil and improve his game in the G League for a year, and then you can reevaluate him moving forward.
Yeah, to me, Keith, the only importance about Thursday's workout was Joe Johnson. I think anybody else, I don't think it's even worth considering any kind of upheaval of your roster or anything like that.
Correct, my man, correct. And when we get right back, y'all, we'll get into that second segment about Carmelo Anthony. All right, Mark, would Carmelo be a good fit for the Sixers?
I go back and forth on this. First of all, let me answer one other question first. Can Carmelo Anthony play in the NBA and at a high rate? I think he can. I mean, I'm not sure he's a 30-minute a game guy, but I think if Carmelo's on your second team and he accepts that role, that's always been his problem. If he can accept the role coming off the bench, I think he can still give you scoring. The problem is he's not like a great three-point shooter. I think that's why I think for the Sixers' point of view, Joe Johnson would be better for them than Carmelo. That's not to say Joe Johnson is better than Carmelo. I'm just saying for their situation, I would do it. I think he could still play. I just don't know where are you going to fit him in with the Sixers.
Yeah, that's the thing. As far as I kind of agree with you. It's one of those things where Carmelo would be a great addition. You know, you hear all this stuff about Brooklyn looking at him, you know, especially and you hear that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you know, they're pushing for the Nets to sign him. And if you think about it, that could be a great move for Melo just because Kevin Durant's not playing. And they have all the other pieces around him to where he can do it. The big thing is, you know, if he comes to the Sixers, like you said, is a role, does he want to accept it? Because he's not going to be the guy. Like, after the games, like Carmelo, everywhere he's been, you know, maybe not so in Houston, you know, towards the end, but everywhere he's been, and maybe I can say OKC too, but it was like he was the main attraction. He was the guy that everyone waited for at the end to the media to interview. He was the headliner of the team. You know, right now, he won't even be in the starting lineup for the Sixers. No. And we're talking about Joe Johnson getting 10 to 15 minutes. That's what Carmelo's going to get. He's not going to close out games. You know, so it's one of those things. How do you deal with that? And and some people will say, what do you mean? He's playing in the league. You know, he should be happy. Well, that's kind of like, you know, one of those things where a guy has always been the superstar. Always. And then you ask him to come in and be like, hey, man, you got to be a role player. You have to do this. And in their mind, they feel like they can still play. So I'm not faulting him for that because he's always been that way. And then, you know, you go from being the man to being a role player, a cheerleader at the end of the game. So it's just something hard that people have to adjust to mentally. But if you could get him, that would be great. But I don't know if he would fit in because of that. Now, here's something else. We talk about defense. He's another guy that's not that good on the defensive end. But if he could just come in and be a sniper, that's cool. But I don't know how he'll fit in with the Sixers. I just don't.
You know, it's crazy to say this, Keith, but the Sixers are looking at it, and they're gonna do they want to bring James Ennis or Carmelo Anthony off the bench. Now you laugh and you say, "Well, Carmelo Anthony's so much better." But James Ennis fits a role where he could guard anyone from a 1 to a 4. Mm-hmm. He can bring them defensive versatility. It's basically what they want. He could help them. He could get points. And then again, there's the point of will he accept that kind of a role?
Yeah, like you're right. Carmelo Anthony is a career 34.7% three-point shooter. In his 10 games last year with the Houston Rockets, he shot 32.8% on threes, right? That was his lowest percentage since he shot 31.6% when he was with Denver in the 2009-10 season. So, you know, that's not good. And when he first came into the league, you know, he shot his rookie year, he shot 32%. His next year, he shot 26%, 24, 26 again, and then it went 35, 37 to that 31. So, you know, there is some regression going on in his shot. You know, he's a pro, but he's more of a scorer.
He's a volume scorer,
you know, so he needs to do that. Like, yeah, overall, his overall career shooting percentage is 44.9. He shot 40.5% last year. So, you know, it's one of those things where if he's in the right position, he can help you. But, you know, he's a 10-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA guy. It's just that, you know, do the Sixers really want that? That's the thing.
And the other thing is, he would fit in so much better with the Nets.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, and he's from New York, Keith. So it's I'd be surprised if he goes anywhere but the Nets. I mean, the Sixers, I think they'd have to think about it, but they'd have a lot of questions to ask, as we talked about the role, the lack of defense, etc.
Yeah. Well, look, we'll get right back. We'll talk about who or some of the guys the Sixers could release if they would bring in Carmelo or Joe Johnson or anyone else. We'll be right back. All right, Mark. So, if someone is acquired, who gets released?
I am not a big Jonah Bolden guy. I don't know exactly what his game is. We haven't seen him enough, I guess, so maybe that's not fair, but I think that they have big men that can do certain things off the bench, and maybe he'd be a guy I would look at, Keith.
Yeah, he would be a guy you look at. My thing is, he's a young guy. I think he's athletic. I mean, the thing about Jonah Bolden is I think the Sixers just have to figure out what position he plays. I mean, there were games where Jonah came in and he played well. You know, I'm not as down on Jonah Bolden as others are. I just think that, you know, he is, in my mind, Jonah Bolden is a 4-3, meaning he's a guy who is a power forward, athletic power forward, but he can shoot. And he can do, he's athletic enough to play three. Now, again, is he going to excel at that in the NBA? No. But I think that what they have him is they have him playing a 5-4, like a center/power forward. He's not a center in my eyes.
He loves shooting threes.
Yeah, he's not a center. And, you know, he's a guy who, you know, he was a second-round pick who basically, you know, forced his way on the Sixers roster. You know, what I mean by that is, he wanted to come over, and it was one of those things where, okay, either we can release him and don't bring him to training camp, or we have to bring him to training camp and like basically sign him, because if we cut him, then he becomes a free agent. That's a waste of draft pick. I look at him and I look at the Sixers' other bigs, right? So you have Joel Embiid. We know Joel's not going anywhere. You have Al Horford, an older player, right? You have Kyle O'Quinn, a steady guy. But you don't have anyone young like Jonah, you know? So with that being said, I don't know if I would get rid of him.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's just yep. my opinion. Now, then you have a guy like a Trey Burke. Now, you have a guy like Trey Burke. You know, you got him in here. You know, he's going to make the minimum. He makes the minimum contract if he stays. You know, he has $400,000+ guaranteed right now. If he makes the opening day roster, it goes up to $8 million. And then he'll get the full scale, like, if he stays past, you know, January 21, whatever the date is to make it a guarantee. Now, my thing is, if you really wanted him, and if this wasn't just a tryout for him, why wouldn't this contract be fully guaranteed? You understand? Why wouldn't his yeah. contract be fully guaranteed? And then the guy Neto, Raul Neto, the guy that he, you know, he's battling for the backup point guard position, is a guy who kind of sort of beat him out in Utah. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know. And the thing about Trey Burke, you know, we're talking about, when you have a point guard, a lot of times you want, now he's a great scorer. He's a guy that's scoring. But I think on a conference call, you guys asked him, can you play with Ben Simmons? And he said, yo, sure, sure. I don't know if they could play well together. I just don't see that.
Well, first of all, it's very hard in the NBA to have a 6'1" two guard. Secondly, he's only a 34% three-point shooter. You know, he was talking about his three-point prowess. So you don't know if he's the kind of guy that can knock down shots. That all said, Keith, I think Trey Burke is going to be that backup point guard.
I mean, he could be. Yeah. He could be, but my thing is, when I look at Trey Burke and I see a guy getting a guaranteed deal, a partially guaranteed deal, and the way it is, like, you'll get $400,000, but if you make the team, you'll get this. And you get that. To me, it's more like, okay, we're going to see what you can do. You know what I mean? It's, you know, we're going to basically see what you can do. It's not really, okay, you're going to be our bona fide backup.
No question. You know? Yeah, no question. And the other thing you have to ask, you know, he signed in late July. So if he could only get a partial guarantee in late July, it's not like other teams are banging down his door.
Exactly. And that's just my thing. Again, I think he's a great fit, a great addition. But what we're saying right now is guys who could possibly go. Now, again, right now the Sixers fans love him. But, you know, they love him. But there have been other players that the Sixers loved. And the Sixers wanted the team to keep. And they let him go. And then next thing you know, it's like they bring in someone else. And they're like, yeah. You know, they forget about him. I mean, so... You know, it is one of those things where we'll see. I think if he stays, he'll be a great addition. But also the Sixers have to ask themselves right now is Furkan Korkmaz developed enough to be that sniper off the bench? If not, you know, and if they have some doubts, that's part of the reason why they're bringing in Joe Johnson and guys like that to see it, you know?
Yep, and, you know? And Korkmaz is a guy that... has shown it at times. It just hasn't been there all the time. I think this is going to be a fascinating camp for him because, like you said, Keith, he's got the one skill that they're looking for.
Exactly. And he's cheap, but he's also here for a one-year deal. And I think that, you know, that's the thing. If they feel like he's going to do it, and from what – they haven't started the World Championship yet. But, you know, he's a part of Turkey's national team, and he's been killing it. So yeah. far, he's been killing it. Now, again, he's not really going up against NBA caliber type guys, you know, some of them, but not NBA teams. So it's one of those things where can it translate? And he showed signs certain times, especially last year when he was in the starting lineup. He didn't look bad. But, you know, defensively, he's like those guys. He struggles on the defensive end. But they just have better resumes than him. They were all stars. You know, guys trying to get back. But if the Sixers have faith in him, you know,
yeah, everything's cool. That's why I think camp is going to be interesting, Keith, to kind of figure out this end of the bench, figure out the end of the rotation and everything.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, Mark, thanks for joining this week. I think we had another good podcast. And, guys, we'll come back next week and we'll be, you know, more frequent. Like, I try to do it 2 to 3 days a week in the summertime. And then once the season starts, you know, we're going to come to you guys, what, you know, as we normally do, 5 days a week. I want to thank you guys for listening, and I also want you guys to have a great holiday weekend. Peace. Thanks, Mark, for joining again.